Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. I am really quiet.
It doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you're very normal. Well, I have to say, Wendy's in Nuevo, please go fuck yourself. I just got over some massive food poisoning that I almost died from. I swear to God.
You coming still out, sounded yeah. rough there, pal.
Yeah. Coming out both sides, I haven't had a solid number two in, it must be before last Wednesday.
Jesus.
That was when I got it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just absolutely horrible.
Like, and he's been as grumpy as you could expect from someone who's that sick.
I've just been super tired, super grumpy, doing drywall in my house. So that's fun. So on top of that, I get like really bad dust allergies, if that makes sense. So,
and doing drywall ain't great for that.
No. Nope. Plus my asthma. So definitely been running around the house in a bandana because respirators are for babies. Pussies.
You're at least wetting the bandana first, right?
Fuck no.
Oh. Yeah, I
put bandana over me.
I have the worst food poisoning I've ever had actually came from Wendy's. We'll do a quick flashback, right? Not flashback. Yeah, flashback, I guess, is the term. So it's freshman year of high school, right? Getting ready to perform at one of the largest band competitions in the Midwest. We go to Wendy's beforehand. This is regionals, Mark, not state, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say, is this Indianapolis?
No, that would be nationals, but no, this is regionals.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We never did regional, so I have no idea where that's at, or was that.
Was it the Silver Dome? At this point, it's at the Pontiac Silver Dome. And so anyways, we get Wendy's.
Wasn't that teared down? I thought it was torn down a while ago.
Yeah, like 2012.
Oh, I thought it was like way before
that. Not even then. You're getting my story off track, but now I'm curious.
I'm sorry.
Keep going. while he's typing.
They demolished it in 2016. Yeah. So anyways.
That was way before we went to high school, but anyways.
So anyways, we're performing at the Silver Dome, and I start feeling sick as we're doing our practice run outside. And I'm like, I'll push through it. We march into the stadium. The minute that we start performing Godzilla, because this was Godzilla, what a great show. The minute we start performing, I start throwing up. Like, I'm on the field, throwing up in my mouth, swallowing it. I didn't play once through the entire performance, but I marched that entire fucking performance. I marched all the way off the field, and the second that we stepped into the tunnel, I started projectile vomiting, and I was puking for a good 4.5-5 hours straight.
Jesus.
Yeah. And probably until they tore the building down, there were some really big stains in the Lions' old locker room where I definitely put them there.
Jesus.
Yeah, terrible experience.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible experience.
And I didn't eat Wendy's for like 8 years after that.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm done.
Yeah.
We ain't doing that.
What's really funny is you told me that you were sick from Wendy's, and that night we went to Wendy's.
Well, I'm not guaranteeing that, Wendy's. Don't come after me. But, like, I didn't eat anything that day. Only thing I ate was Wendy's, and all of a sudden I'm dog off. I mean, just dead to the world sick. That's an indicator for me. I don't know about anyone else. And I was out of my my famed diarrhea stopper, as they call it, the
Imodium.
Imodium, yeah. Imodium, is that what you call it?
Imodium?
Yeah.
Immobilizer?
Yeah.
gut stopper?
Gut stopper, yeah, that's what they call it. Same thing you put into your engine. It's a stop leak, basically. But I always take it when I camp, so I go through it a lot more than the typical person. And it always helps when I camp. I don't know why, but it's a proven method. Proven method.
Can confirm, as someone who has to poop a fuck ton, I started taking it when I camp too, and it helps a lot.
It saves money, dude. You don't go through as many trash bags, as many baby wipes.
Yep.
You don't accidentally wipe yourself with a Clorox wipe.
You don't get your truck stuck and then have the nervous shits real bad and have to run off into the woods and be a real bad person and leave a fucking white flower.
Yep.
Don't have to use so many mint-scented trash bags.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Whatever. Listeners, if there's one thing you can take away from this shitty, literally shitty episode, do not use mint-scented trash bags. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Alex has that run-in. I had one where a couple camp trips ago, I thought I grabbed my baby wipes, and I grabbed my little Clorox to-go wipes and wiped my ass with those. Got my nice lemony bleach burning sensation. And I didn't realize it. Like, when you're camping, you go in your little porta-potty, it's dark. You know, I try not to throw my flashlight around all that much because I like to have night vision. And I just didn't realize, man. I just peeled it up.
Do you?
And I wiped, and I was like, huh. Why? Huh. That really burns. And then, like, trying to figure out why I wipe again. And I'm like, maybe I got a cut or something, you know? Everyone gets those, whatever. And
especially Gavin.
No, not that much. Not especially me. But so I checked the thing, and it was this Clorox, and I'm like, that's why. So that burning sensation lasted for about 15 minutes, and
now
it was hell. I was sweating.
Have you had Sienna inspect to see if your butthole is now a lighter color?
No. Now, you know, you'd think with it never seeing the light of day, it'd be pretty light. But I could probably put money on it that it is not that. So, don't use Clorox wipes. And apparently this isn't a universal experience for a lot of campers because I posted that as like an Instagram reel.
I saw that.
Fucking blew up, dude. Dude, I got like, I think 200 some thousand views on that and a shit ton of comments of other people either telling me to nut up, rip a sleeve of my shirt off,
or yeah, I saw that.
They've had a similar experience in some other way, shape, or form. I tagged Dude Wipes because it's funny enough, the post before it, which inspired me, was Dude Wipes had pumpkin spice flavored Dude Wipes. And I was like, you know what? I like to eat food, and your butthole can taste. So I wonder what it would be like to try pumpkin spice without actually eating it. You know what I mean?
It's like
that study that they say, like, nuts can sense flavor, like umami flavors. I've never done it, but just saying.
All right, this will be kind of a fun one then. What is your least popular Instagram reel?
Probably anything that actually has my family in it, oddly enough. Like, my family ones don't do as much as I'd like to be family oriented in mine. I don't have the follower count, and people don't really give a shit about it at this point.
Right.
As far as what my content does, least popular.
I'm gonna give my worst two. Okay, worst three, because one of them's kind of funny. So my worst three, number one, and this is my third worst one. A while ago, I jokingly made a reel trying to make the mule, which is my daily. It's a Kawasaki mule. Mm-hmm. And it only got like 4 likes. Like, it was really bad.
Ooh.
And then I mean, it's almost as bad as the GT or most wanted ones that you did. Those only got like 6. But my next worst one, and
wait,
the,
on yours they only got 6.
Yeah, the one that, yeah, the one you follow or tagged me in.
Damn.
Yeah. So then the next worst one, a long time ago, this is like one of my first reels I made on this Instagram. I took a glamour shots of a trash can here on the farm and was like just taking glamour shots of my friend's JK.
Ooh.
It only got 6 likes and 3 comments. And the 3 comments are, I love my JK.
Yeah. I love my JK.
And then the absolute worst one I've ever done, I took a picture of a Meshtastic node when I first put it up. It got 2 likes. And one of them is Mark, so it doesn't even count.
Damn. To be honest, I've been doing this kind of for a while, and I have a lot of stuff on my page, so it's kind of hard for me to find one that doesn't have under, like, a couple hundred likes. But I could say confidently that if it has an article of my clothing for merch or has my son in it and one of my dopey posts about how much I sometimes like him, yeah, that doesn't do well at all. It's like product reviews do pretty well. Anything to do with overlanding as a joke, like a lot of mine are kind of, you know, a lot of my content on my Instagram right now is fillers to kind of fill in while I'm not doing anything or can't afford to go do anything. So,
yeah. Oh, you have a few with no likes.
Do I? How do you look at that?
I go to your thing and then hover my mouse over it, and it tells me how many likes. Most yours are around 10. You got quite a few that bump up to a couple hundred, but it's like 10 to 20 or a couple hundred and then a couple that are none.
Oh.
Which?
Oh, yeah, okay, I see it now.
If you have none, that means that I didn't see it because I like all your posts as a default.
Yeah, so like my clothing ones have 0.
Yeah.
I love them. So, which is fine. It's not like I'm trying to, like, I don't make any money really off of it, so I don't really care,
yeah.
But.
I mean, the merch is
actually,
the merch is just fun to make, man. Like, we got some cool stuff. Wow, we had no topic, but this is actually a fun topic, just talking about people and Instagram and stuff. I don't even know what merch we have on our store right now. I feel like I just added stuff, but.
Yeah, I just added stuff onto mine, too. I have to go through my stuff. So we use Printful. That's what Botches use. That's what I use for Huckleberry's Outdoor Adventures. And Alex kind of turned me on to it, and I've seen the light. It's really cool. I wish they had some more. Maybe some different printing techniques for like cups and stuff, but
yep.
Other than that, they're pretty decent. And you can kind of mark your clothing up and stuff however you really want to. We typically, like, Alex doesn't mark his up almost at all. I keep mine at like a very, very small, probably the same or less on a lot of my stuff. And then I kind of also gauge it by, like, the more I think people will buy it, the lower I'll make it.
Yeah.
So, like, sweatshirts and stuff like that are much cheaper typically, just because I want them to have more access to that.
Yeah, I mark up by, like, a couple dollars, unless it's something that's already expensive. Like, the Hawaiian shirt, that's, like, at price. Like, people said they wanted it.
Yeah, kind of to that point, if I know that it's going to be expensive out the door, I'll usually put it at the absolute lowest it can go.
Yep, exactly.
So that I make like one penny on it, basically. But for some of it, I have a lot that I've added recently, like a lot. So I've been kind of just going with the recommended, like, what is it, like 10 or 15%.
Yeah,
markup or whatever it is, which is only like after Printful takes its money away for the processing and everything that they do, because It's basically all done on Printful. You don't have to order any clothing. You don't have to put any money into Printful. You just make the product, you design it somewhere else, you make it, you know, put it on the clothing, and then you can add it to your catalog, sell it. Yep. And then they give you a cut, and then they take, what is it? They take a certain percentage, they take tax, shipping, and, you know, whatever cut they get. And you get whatever's left over based on the percentage of markup you did. And it's usually like $1.
Yep.
If that. So, yeah, it's not the best.
Have you been able
to do it cheaper somewhere else? I don't know.
Have you seen the Christmas stickers that I just made live?
I haven't. I'll have to take a look.
I haven't done one for the FJ yet, but I have a 4Runner in Tacoma with a Christmas tree on the roof. They're pretty sick. They're just...
I'm going to do some Halloween ones actually coming up.
Hell yeah.
Drop on my stuff.
I've got some... I mean, we've got more stuff on the Botches internal store. Because the way that Botches do it, we have Botches internal store. When I make a new product, we put it there until someone can afford to buy it and test it. Because the last thing I want to do is put a shitty product on the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. In mine, I don't. But I will reimburse someone if they do get a shitty product and they genuinely just like hate it. I will give you your money back, whatever you spent.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't get one because I can't really afford to give you back like $300. But honestly, from what I've seen, as long as we design it okay, our graphic, the DPI is high enough in our graphic, they typically turn out well enough that people like them. Like they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. I haven't seen anything. The only thing that I think Printful doesn't have the capability of, but they do, is like the stitching, embroidering. That can be tricky because you really don't know what it's going to turn out like. If your design is too complicated or uses a lot of colors,
yeah,
or, you know, your shading is complicated, it could make your stitching and stuff pretty rough.
Thankfully, majority of what I do is embroidered because embroidery doesn't wear the way a printed shirt does.
Right.
Which is most of why we buy it first, is to test the embroidery.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you get contact back for that jacket?
Yeah, we're waiting for it to get here.
Yeah, you're talking about Kalen's? The bee that was messed up?
Oh, which... I didn't even worry about it. It's barely messed up.
Okay.
Yeah,
what was that?
So we ordered those jean jackets a while ago.
Yep.
And Kalen's, the B is kind of off. It's nothing major. You can tell it's a B. And then I also accidentally ordered... Oh, I figured out how I did that, Mark. So,
yeah,
because the jean jackets, they were getting discontinued anyway. We just wanted to get an order in for us before it happened. Yeah. By the way, those are $90 jackets. So, like, nothing I would ever put on the customer-facing store.
No. No.
So I made a template and then changed the name to Kaylin, added her large jacket to the cart. Then I changed the template to Mark and ordered a 3XL. Well, no, I did that backwards. I did Mark first and then changed it for Kaylin. Well, when I changed the template, it changed what was in the cart too. So it screwed up. I screwed up and I ordered two jackets with Kaylin's name on them. One is a 3XL, one is an XL. So then I had to go back, quickly order one for Mark that was a 3XL. And then I just put a piece of Velcro over the name on hers and I'm wearing it as a chore jacket.
Yep.
So
okay. It works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I did rip that today, but you know, it happens.
It's your work jacket, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Those usually fit super small, so I would have paid you if I thought it would fit me, but I really doubt it. So
the 3XL fits me and Mark pretty well. It's a little like if Alan wanted to button it up, he is squeezing himself.
Yeah. But he is a little bit more rounder than us, and he's also tall too.
Yeah. So I don't think the 3XL would have fit you. And sadly, 3XL was the largest size they had.
Mm-hmm.
That's a me problem. That's all good.
That being said, that jacket is probably one of the nicest jackets I've ever bought. It's Sherpa lined.
Yeah.
Denim, usually a
Really stiff. I'm about to say not really stiff denim at all.
So usually denim's kind of stiff. This one came out just perfect. Like, I'm actually really disappointed that they're discontinuing it because it's really a nice product.
Well, judging by how much you had to pay for it, said and done, I don't really disagree with their choice. I mean, to have it on is probably more expensive, really.
Yeah.
How many people were actually going to buy it?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't. I mean, that being said, a custom jean jacket like that, you're going to spend somewhere between $100 and $150. So it was priced right. It just, it's not a product that's going to sell a lot.
I would say you could like a half of the price if you just ironed on a patch, but it doesn't look as good.
Exactly.
Just I think most of the price is the Sherpa lining.
Yeah. If I did just a denim jacket, I could do that for like $50. But
yeah,
these ones have that Sherpa lining, and it's nice, man. Like, I put that on in the mornings and I'm sweating when it's like 40 out.
Yeah, that's good. I know. So like the embroidery is, they do a good job. I mean, I don't know what machine they use for it, but I had like a embroidered beanie that I bought for Sienna that I got her. And it's just basically the emblem of us, the three little bears or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was too complicated for it because there was some shading and stuff in it. So they asked if they could do like a simplified file of it, which turned out to be just as good, if not better. So Printful's pretty good about it. I really don't have any complaints with them. I mean, I think that they're pretty reasonably priced. And if you subscribe to, there's like a Printful premium, you get even deeper of a discount. I just don't think it's worth it for the amount of orders that I get.
Yeah, I don't have Printful premium.
I think I just got one other order from someone for $51 for a hoodie. And that's the only other order other than myself, Mark, Duncan, and Alex. So,
Yeah, I think I've had two people other than us. No, one person other than us order.
Yeah.
So,
definitely not upset about it by any means. I'm glad other people are buying it or like it enough.
Yeah, that being said, listeners, go check out our store. The link is in the show notes. And for Gavin's store, you got to go to his podcast, and I'm sure his link is in his show notes too.
Yeah. It's also on my Instagram. Well, he'll have that on there. You can just go to my Instagram link.
Yeah.
Whoops. Oh, you know what? I do have something. Since we're talking about our socials a little bit, I do kind of have a gripe, and I kind of wanted to voice it a little bit. And it comes from, like, when we're trying to grow our pages and stuff, we're always pretty careful to find companies that we like, that we agree with, that we kind of resonate with. And then it's even harder to see if they'll work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of scrolling through and found this company that I thought would have been a good fit, a lighting company. And, you know, I reached out, filled out their sponsorship form for a sponsorship, which when you hear that, it's typically, they pay you or they send you product. And you test it out, you do reviews. That's typically what a sponsorship is they either pay you or they pay you with products. And I heard back, had an interview for them, and was going to do that interview, decided to do some research on this company to see if this is actually going to be a good fit for me, because I don't want to preach that this company has good products when they really don't.
Yep.
And then, of course, I lose all credibility as far as whatever I'm trying to build. So I did some lookup on it, and overwhelmingly horrible reports on them. So to start, this is a FCK Lighting is the company.
Wow, he name dropped and everything.
Oh, I mean, the reports are horrible. They have a ton of followers, which I'm 100% sure that they're paid for. And I think it's like at 120,000 followers, which is crazy for a lighting company. I guarantee it's paid for, because their posts get like almost zero likes. And then when you look at Better Business Bureau, they're at like 1.5 stars.
Jesus.
They have horrible reviews. So most of them are sponsorship reviews too. So basically what they do is they select you and then they get you into the sponsorship, but you have to actually pay for the sponsorship. So it's like $600 to do the sponsorship.
Jesus.
And what they do is like heavily discount, with air quotations around that, products. They'll send some extra goodies with your product, but they tell you you have to buy something to get into the sponsorship. So you buy a light bar from them. They send you a flag, some patches, some stickers. And of course you have to do your video and you have to do your, you know, whatever you have to do typically for them. And then not only did you pay probably, I don't know, it'd be close to $600 because their lighting is not cheap. You then get it. The shipping is absolutely horrible. There's tons of people saying that it took them forever to get it. And then when they finally did, the product was like shitty.
I'm looking at their lights right now. Dude, this shit looks like almost cheap Amazon level stuff, and they're selling it for like $600.
That's what I'm saying. It's horrible. I genuinely think it's a scam. They're based out of, I think, California, but they're supposedly US designed, US this and that. And I don't think any of it's true. I mean, genuinely, I don't know what they're saying or what they're quoting, but we looked into it a lot, and I was like, holy shit, people are getting scammed left and right here. So,
yeah.
Not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what they thought they were going to do, but a lot of people are saying that, like, after they got their product, they ended up needing a whole other, like, what is it? Like an adapter. Oh, you have to buy that separate. What the fuck? So, and then people's light bars are dying out, this and that. They try to return it. They don't hear anything back. They get ghosted. They can't return it. They make you pay a restocking fee when they finally do let you return it. And it's like, every step of the way, it's an absolute fuck. So I do want to point out, buyer and sponsor beware, if you're trying to get into an influencer, I guess, what would you call this? Job. It's not a job, but a, you know, passion, whatever. Then you need to look into who you're actually looking to sponsor with. So, just a kind of a quick buyer's note, beware. It's not, I have really bad ADHD, and Alex is typing as we're talking. It is fucking my speech up here. I keep losing my train of thought every time I hear a click, and every time I hear see a new message. But I mean, you're going to hear an alarm in the background. Don't be alarmed.
Everyone's alive. It's not a slot machine.
Yeah. So, but and this is just the end of the story, but basically, I was scheduled for a call, and I was going to call them and grill them about it, record the call, and then have that to kind of let other people know, honestly. And and I didn't even get a fucking call. It was scheduled for Saturday at 3 p.m. And I was like, cool. They didn't fucking get a hold of me until like 8 p.m.
Oh, 3 p.m. their time, 8 p.m. your time, probably.
No, no. It was 10 a.m. their time, 3 p.m. my time.
Oh, okay.
Because they were on California time or some shit. So they didn't call me until like 7 or 8 p.m. And at that point, I'm pissed. I'm like, dude, I had someone watch my kid for a couple hours just so that I could have a quiet area to talk to them. No call. Like, so on top of that unprofessional circumstance that I had, I mean, the reviews are absolutely horrible. So beware, dude. Beware when you're trying to grow your platforms and stuff that you don't jump into products that aren't going to be good for your customer and scams that are eventually just going to screw you over. Because that is like a signed contract.
Yeah.
So that's hard to get out of. People can't just get out of that once they realize you pay that money, you sign that contract, you have to abide by it. So,
yeah,
it definitely sucks.
I really like reading companies' terms of service. Like, call me a nerd, whatever, but privacy is important to me, so I always do it. Where's it at? Section 3 of their terms of service. We are not responsible if information made available on the site is not accurate, complete, or current.
What the fuck? Like, literally, you would be responsible for that, but because they have that in their terms of service. That's horrible.
Section 4. Prices for our products are subject to change without notice and may be higher than on the website.
Again, what the fuck is that? Like, see, this is why you have to be careful, because people lie, and they lie through the companies too. That's why you always want to make sure. I did get some good news from someone I used to work with in Gerber. She was an intern there, and she started working with Coleman, the camping company.
Yep.
And she does product testing. And she asked, hey, you know, we do product testing and stuff through Coleman. And all this stuff that we get done testing, it's usually completely fine. It works. She goes, but we don't really have anything to do with it. We pretty much just throw it away. Would you be interested in it? And I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So as she gets new products and stuff that she gets to test, whether that be sleeping systems, tents, lights, anything that Coleman, the parent company, is making, then, yeah. So she's going to send that over to me, and hopefully I get to try some new product out. So that's pretty cool. It's just a connection that I made a while back that I never thought I'd hear from her again. And she's out here hooking me up. So Coleman, I don't work with Coleman. I won't be affiliated with them in any way, but it's still cool to get product and try it out in the field and actually see how it works. I don't typically buy Coleman stuff. I can't say that Coleman's quality has been stellar lately.
I mean, didn't they get bought out like 6 or 7 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I could tell you that the one thing that they do and do pretty damn well is their stoves. They've always had good stoves. They've always had good gas lanterns. But that was kind of their stuff that they had. I don't know. Like, they had a while back. That's always been like stuff that they were very well tested. They know what they're doing. Like their tents, their budget tents, like they're decent, but they're, you know, they're nothing special. But I'd be interested to see. I honestly haven't looked at Coleman in general in a long time. I know that I don't trust their UTVs and stuff to save my life, and that's from experience. But they got some cool thing. They got like Stranger Things edition, like coolers and bags. That's kind of cool. Never really seen those before, but you know,
well,
it's just a cool thing that I've ran into.
It's been a week since I really talked to either of you. I mean, I guess I talked to Mark a little bit this weekend, but it was a busy weekend, so.
Yeah.
You guys bought any new fancy gear or done anything off-roady at all?
Oh, I took advantage of the deals going on and bought a new winch.
Yeah?
So really? That will be in tomorrow, so that will be a thing to get hooked up to this weekend.
Nice.
And I also bought a new sleeping pad because I got tired of the pad that's not doing crap for me.
Did you get it on deals?
Yes.
And you didn't share it when you know that my sleeping pad magically has a hole from you?
It was before me.
I never had a problem with it until the night you borrowed it.
The only thing is that it's going to be a little bulky for your liking. But I went for comfort over compact.
I mean, as long as
say you have the space for it.
As long as it fits in my pack out, I don't give a shit.
It won't fit in the pack out.
Oh yeah, no, fuck that. It ruins the whole point of the pack out. yeah, so the new winch is pretty cool. You got the X-Bull XPV 10K.
Yep.
That's a pretty good buy. And you got a good deal. You paid the same as I did for my non XPV, so
yep.
Can't beat that.
No.
Was it Sunday? Sunday or Monday, I went to Never Enough to see if they had any, like, just beat to shit 37s that I could use for test fitting on the 4Runner. And they didn't. And then he goes, I think the closest we have is a set of 35 takeoffs that look brand new. And so we go and look at them, and sure enough, I mean, I don't even know what the brand is. It's some weird brand I'd never heard of. But went and looked at them, and they're a nice set of ATs, basically brand new, almost no miles on them. And I was like, well, how much you want for them? He's like, I don't know, $200. So $200. I got a set of four 35s. They're decent enough. I'll get those mounted on Friday. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. That's definitely going to, one, I've been borrowing tires for the last, like, 6 months, so being on my own tires will be fucking nice. And then, two, I've been wanting to go, I wanted to go 37s, but I'll settle on 35s. Yeah, so 4Runner's going to be on 35 soon, and we'll see if I need to re-gear or not. Then I feel like I bought a lot of shit, but I don't even remember what all I bought.
I know you bought SD card reader.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear about my really expensive SD card.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help you.
With the Amazon Prime Day deals, I bought a portable HDMI monitor and a mount.
Oh, yeah, that.
And a mount for in the 4Runner. So when we're So my off-road rig, which, by the way, I don't really do the overland thing. It's just off-road. I now will have a TV in the back of my truck.
He doesn't do overland. Get real overland.
Now, what's really funny is the only reason I did that is because sometimes F1 races land on Rigs and Coffee trips, and I want to be able to watch the F1 race while at Rigs and Coffee.
You realize that, like, Rigs and Coffee, there's only like one of those left.
We still have Cordis and Calf, and that also
are we doing that throughout the winter.
We're skipping November because we're really busy in November, but I do plan on picking it up in December.
Yeah,
I'm gonna talk to our local pizza place and see if she wants to host us for December. Probably December and January, I'll look for businesses to work with. But come February.
Yeah, I think we... Wait, you mean like parking lot host, or you mean like food?
Parking lot.
Hell, man, come on. I want to do some snow wheeling.
Oh, I'm not saying we won't, but I'm thinking like, you know, give us a parking lot to park in, and then obviously we'll go inside and enjoy some food. In the warmth, yeah. But
fire, big fire, snow wheel, big fire.
then come
snow wheel two, big fire.
Come February, we'll probably look at maybe January. or no, come February. January's before February. Don't listen to me. Come February, we'll probably get back to doing like out in the middle of the woods strips. I want to shake it up for next year a little bit, where for the first 6 months, so February, March, April, May, June, July, about 6 months, I think, somewhere in there. Each of us from Botches will take a month and we'll find the location and we'll draw, yep. We'll draw cards for who gets what month.
Mm-hmm.
Cool with that.
Yeah.
I am down with that too.
I do really like the idea of bringing a bunch of hot pizza to a big winter bonfire and having our little propane heaters. And that sounds like a blast.
So, I do have a diesel heater in my cart right now for $100 because I plan on, not even for overlanding, I'm going to put a heater on my mule so that I can heat it and clear the windshield. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, make it so it can separate from it, and then you can use it for camping.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm going to build a back wall because, you know, the back just has a gate pretty much. Not a gate, but like a screen. So I'm going to build a plywood wall and then mount the diesel heater in there. I'll plumb the diesel pickup down into the diesel tank on the mule because the mule's diesel anyway. And then the one I'm looking at, you can program it to turn on at certain times. So I think I'm just going to have it turn on at like, I don't know, 6:30 in the morning. It doesn't even need that much time. Maybe 7 in the morning, and then have it run pretty much all day till about noon, and then I can turn it on if I need it after that.
Yep.
Yeah. So it'll be
make it.
It and solely the reason for doing this is that the windshield on the mule fogs up, and then you have to hang your head out in the cold snow to be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, that sucks. I think if you're going to get one anyway, make it so that you can quickly disconnect and use it for camping. So
yeah, but then
if
I go camping, then anyone else who needs to use the mule won't be able to clear the windshield.
Well, you know what? They can just get used to it. Live the life like Alex for a few days. Darn. You know?
Yeah.
What's more important? You're going to buy two of them?
Honestly, probably.
Yeah. I know. I have one. I'm waiting for my next check whenever that tends to come in, and I'll probably get it then because we do have some fall camping. For a while, I was kind of thinking that maybe we were just done. We do have a few events coming up, but it was just getting to the point of like we're starting to focus on other things. We got to get wood pellets. We have to make sure we have heaters because we have like a it's a trailer, and the wood pellet stove heater does good at radiating heat, but radiant heat doesn't do great at circulating throughout the house.
Right.
So you have all these other closed rooms like the kids' room, our room, dad's room, the bathroom, that do not get any heat at all, and they tend to get quite cold. So we have electric heaters that we run as well.
It would be a lot more cost effective to put door fans in.
You're a door fan.
I'll see if I can find some for you. They're usually only like $20, and then you just cut a hole in the top of the door and mount it in the door.
Not my house. I don't think I can do that.
But it's a really effective way to make that work. When we lived in Big Rapids, that's what we did because the cost of electric, dude. Electric heaters are like 5 times as expensive as running anything else.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure our AC was fun this year. We didn't run it a whole lot, just typically when we went to bed, but
I just turned mine off like a couple hours ago.
The good thing about it is that we only have the electric heaters in rooms that we're in, actually in at the moment. So it usually takes 15, 20 minutes to heat up our room, and then we turn it off.
Yeah.
And it's usually good for most of the night with our body heat and everything. So Dad's room's a little harder because it's cool, like two times bigger than ours. But yeah, no, it's, you know, still going good. Dad, this is Sienna's dad, by the way. We live with him. He's we're doing a bunch of like renovation of the house soon, so we're getting it all prepped. I've been doing that drywall. We have to cut out some floor and put some new stuff in. So we're gonna do some improvements. We're gonna insulate some more walls because the insulation in the walls are like horrible. So gonna upgrade that as we go. Put some more drywall up, put some more paint up, be good winter projects.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Sounds fun. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like running electric heat because it just got to. The first time we did, the cost of electric, because we ran it in Big Rapids for like a month, and our electric bill was like $500, and that house is tiny.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it is. I get it. I miss my one-bedroom house that I rented, supposed to go under land contract and buy before COVID hit, and they sold it out from under me, them cocksuckers. But anyway, they heated with natural gas, and that was $30 a month for me to heat that house with natural gas.
Ours is like...
That was so nice.
Because we have natural gas. Ours is a four-bedroom, and I think it costs me like $130 to heat the house every month. So it's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah.
No.
I definitely used to be one of those like wood boiler, wood heats all the way. But as I get older and lazier, I really don't want to go and chop wood. And like, you know, a lot of people want to go and homestead and do the like cut wood every year. That takes a huge chunk out of your fucking life. Like when you're cut, because basically once spring comes, you're cutting wood pretty much throughout the summer.
Yep.
And into the fall, just to have maybe a month or two.
Yep.
And then you have all of winter that you're not cutting wood. Maybe. As soon as the next spring comes, you're back at it.
And that's like, it's literally your life, man. Like, you get out of work, that's what you go do. My cousin, that's how they heat their house. And literally, from like the time that the snow melts to the time that the snow falls, all of his free time is cutting wood.
Yeah, and I don't like it that much anymore. Like, I did logging for a few years. I did logging with a school for a couple years, and we did 270 face cord a winter to heat the whole campus because they had an outdoor wood boiler that pushed out to, like, 6 or 8 cabins. So... after doing that and then doing a few more years of just doing it at home and then doing it as a, like a business. Yeah, I'm good.
Pellets.
No more.
Honestly, pellets the way to go. It's cheaper than most gas. It's cheaper than natural gas.
Oh, now you're cheaper because $150 a month. No, it would be almost $280 a month.
If you have a good wood pellet stove and you have it set up to heat properly, way cheaper than natural gas.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have all the right things.
Yeah, if you sat down and set it up right, it's like easily you could heat a house the size of mine for like $80.
A month?
A month, yep.
I don't know.
I don't know. Have pellets gotten that much more expensive?
They're almost $8 a bag.
Oh, no, they have not.
At least.
They're $1 more.
Yeah, you go through. I mean, you go through at least one a day.
Depends. If you're setting your house at like 80, yeah. And if you have one that doesn't auto shut off and auto turn on, yes. You are going to spend a lot.
I don't know. I'm using them now. And we definitely go through a lot more than that, and we're not even heating the whole house. So,
is yours?
It's radiant heat.
Is yours one that does it have a pilot and starts itself, or does it just burn nonstop?
It has a pilot, starts itself, has auto shut off, everything.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sure it's, you know, it was a $2,800 stove, so it was a little bit more than the cheapest usually, but
We've got a friend who's got like a 15-bedroom mansion. Thing's fucking massive. And they spend a little over $130 a month heating the whole thing with pellets.
Well, yeah, he's probably got it all plumbed into registers and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, that's setting it up right. Yeah, that's how his is. Yeah.
Most homes don't have it plumbed into registers.
That's what I'm saying.
Every home that I've been in.
If you spend the money and do it right, they can be a much more cost-effective option. But
yeah,
on average, I'm not going to spend $20,000 to get a pellet stove set up.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, is nobody has that.
Right.
A lot of people, like I went from wood heat to basically pellet heat in the last three or four of my houses, excluding the renter's house, which was pellet heat. Not the renter's house, but the other ones have been pellet heat. None of them have been set up with air quotations the right way.
Yeah.
You know, they've been set up how pellet stoves typically run, which is usually...
You slap it in a room and let it radiate.
Yeah. I mean, which, like I said, it works. I mean, if you have good circulation, you have fans and stuff that can push it, it definitely helps. But when your house is also super thin and we're losing heat everywhere out of this basically trailer.
Of course, that's the other thing.
That's a huge thing.
Your house has to be insulated really well, or I'd say properly, because insulation standards have changed in the last like 4 years. So like if you're up to code with modern insulation standards, honestly, you could almost heat your house with a fucking candle, but
yeah. No, this house is absolutely horrible. It's the typical 80s,
double wide.
It's paper thin everything. So, I mean, we do well for what it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? They do have a really good tax credit for pellet stoves, so we got a good chunk of change for buying it because we bought the pellet stove for Dad. So we got a good chunk of change back come tax season. That was a big tax relief on us. We would have had to pay in if not for that. So
yeah,
yay.
But now that we've done 25 minutes of heat your house in the winter talk,
at
an hour.
A couple more minutes now. Saran wrap your windows. That actually helps a lot.
I don't do it, but I know it does.
Window plastic helps a lot, mm-hmm. especially if you only have like single or double pane. Or you have old windows, like farm windows. Definitely helps a lot. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people with double wides will actually put straw around their house mm-hmm. and pile snow, because snow is actually a really good insulator.
Yes.
So and food for thought for anybody.
With double wides specifically... the underneath of them, generally that crawl space area, if you can insulate that, same thing, straw, snow, whatever, that makes a massive difference in heat retention.
Yeah, because the underside of these are basically, you know what? I don't think they're insulated at all.
No.
Underneath, yeah.
Nope.
They're just sitting
on blocks.
Yep, you lose a lot of heat through the bottom, so.
Yep.
Food for thought. I just figured I'd add that in since we did have some other heating. Make it like a heating tips section.
Yeah. A house heating. Not even overland related. Just house heating. Nope. I wonder how much you could save by swapping your electric heaters for diesel heaters.
Well, so I'm going to get a diesel heater because we typically in Michigan winters, we do lose power quite a bit. Especially our house. We've lost it last year probably 3 times or so.
Oh, yeah.
And everything's hooked on electric, so we don't have any gas heating other than our stove. And so I'm going to get a diesel heater just to heat parts of our house where we can actually sleep. The living room, we'll just move the couches aside and sleep out there. And or we'll use it to actually plumb underneath the house to keep the pipes from freezing.
Yeah,
and we lose power, because that's a big thing, too, is... we blow pipes all the time. And last time we blew a pipe in the winter, we didn't even know it because we don't use that part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bathroom, the second bathroom.
So then your electric bill goes up.
Yep, electric bill went up, and we had the whole underside of the house was full of water. And then that sogged into the foundation, and yeah, so that's, we had to replace a bunch of wood. It was horrible. So it's one of those things where, like, your pipes break, that's, like, the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I have the luxury, I guess you will, of having a big, massive 20K generator at the farm, and I just run an extension cord up here and plug it in and then turn the furnace on. It's very safe if you don't think about it.
Hey, do what you gotta do.
Yep. But, all right, guys, I guess that's an hour. I hope you enjoyed Heating Tips with Gavin.
Yep.
We'll catch you guys later.
Yep, later.